B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Memches. We're going to start with the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Bamet Toimnin on Daf Memzayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Bamet Toimnin u Bamet Ein Toimnin. Toimnin means to insulate, where one submerges, one covers a pot entirely. There's a machlok shoydim from how many sides it has to be covered, but it's insulating a pot to retain its heat. And the halacha is that one is not allowed to be matmin, one's not allowed to insulate such a pot even before Shabbos, if the substance, the material that one's using to insulate the pot, is something that doesn't just retain the heat but also adds to the heat. It's a davar hamoisif hevel, it adds heat. And since you're putting it into something that's going to add even more heat than was there before, we're afraid that on Shabbos you're going to check if it's warm enough, and if it's not warm enough, you're going to end up doing an avera, a melacha of havara, especially as there's a risk that you may submerge and insulate a pot with coals or with ashes that have little bits of coals that are still ignited or still alight inside these ashes, and these coals are obviously adding heat. And if you just left the coals, it would be okay, but if you stoked those coals, you would be transgressing the melacha of havara, of lighting a coal. And therefore the Chachomim said you should not insulate any pot even before Shabbos with anything that adds heat and anything that's moisef hevel. The question is, what materials are moisef hevel and what materials are not moisef hevel? And that's what our Mishnah is going to discuss. Says the Mishnah, Ein Toimnin, you're not allowed to insulate a pot, Loi begefes, not with pulp from a press, either an olive press or other fruit press, we'll soon see in the Gemara, Veloi bezevel, and not with manure, Veloi bemelach, not with salt, Veloi besid, not with lime, Veloi bechoil, or with sand, Bein lachin, bein yuvashin. All these that we just said, gefes, zevel, melach, sid, and choil, one is not allowed to insulate with them, irrespective of whether they are dry or whether they are lach, wet, moist, damp, whatever the definition is going to be, but they're not completely dry. And the Mishnah says, v'loi b'teven, and regarding straw, v'loi b'zogin, and not with grape skins, v'loi b'muchin, and not with some raw cotton. Rashi says muchin is any soft material. It can be wool, it can be cotton, it can be shreds of clothes. But either way, these muchin v'loi ba'asovim, nor with grasses. But in this list, regarding teven, zogin, muchin, and asovim, bizman sheim lachim, only when they are damp or moist, that's when they are moisif hevel. Aval teimnin bohen kashem yuveshim, you're allowed to do hatmona, you're allowed to put a pot or container inside these substances if they are dry, because if they're dry, then they contain the heat, but they do not add heat, and therefore it's mutter to do this before Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's also, even if it's a davar she'eino moisef hevel, even if you're just trying to retain the heat and not to add the heat, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, because we're afraid that when you put it in, you'll realize it's not warm enough and you'll come and heat it up, and that may be also on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Iboy Elohu, gefes shel zeisim tnan, aval de shumshumin shapir domi, oy dilma de shumshumin tnan. We saw in the Mishnah that gefes, which is the pulp of a fruit press, they are moisif hevel. Now, there's the pulp of shumshumin, of sesame, which is moisif hevel, it adds heat, but not as much heat as the pulp of the olive press. So when the Mishnah says lei begefes, doesn't mean just the pulp in an olive press that's hot enough that it's called moisif hevel and is osa, or does it even mean shumshumin, even though it's not as hot as the gefes of zeisim? And that's the second side of the question. Oy dilma, but the shumshumin tnan, the Mishnah is referring also to sesame, the kolshkein zeisim, and then it goes without saying that it also includes zeisim. Says the Gemara Toshima, the Omer Abzeira Mishumchad de Beir Rabbi Yanai. Abzeira said in the name of one of the Chachomim from the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yanai, Kupo she tomanbo. If somebody insulated, or he did hatmona in a box. He put a pot inside a box. Also la nicho al gefes shel zeisim. You're not allowed to take this entire box and put it on top of the pulp of zeisim, or from the olive press. Shma mino shel zeisim tanan. You see that it's only also from zeisim. If it would also be also from sumsumin, from sesame, then the chad de Be'er Bianai would have said you're not allowed to put this box even on the pulp of the press of the sesame. Says the Gemara, no. Le'olam emelecha le'inyan atmona de'shumshmin nami osa. You cannot bring proof from the quote of Reb Zeira, because it could be that in truth, regarding hatmona, with insulating a pot on before Shabbos in something that's going to add heat, even the gefes of shumshmin nami osar, it's called enough heat to be osar. It's called hatmona bedover hamoisif hevel. Le'inyan asuke havlo, but over here, where we're not insulating the pot with this gefes, all we're doing is taking a box that's containing this pot and putting the whole box on top of this gefes. La'asuke havlo, in order to allow the heat to radiate upwards and keep this box with the pot inside warm. Over there, it's one step further away. It's not really able to really heat up the pot, because the pot is not on the gefes. It's in the box, and the box is in the gefes. And there, you need much more heat to be able to influence the pot. And therefore, the zeisim maski havla, only regarding the gefes of the zeisim of the olives, has enough heat to have an influence on the pot and be moisif hevel to the pot. The shumshumin, however, the gefes of the shumshumin, loy maski havla, does not radiate enough heat upwards to influence the pot, and therefore it's mutter. However, to do hatmona inside gefes of shumshumin, that would be osa. Continues the Gemara. Rabba v'Rav Zeira ikru l'beresh gelusa. Rabba and Rav Zeira, they were visiting the resh gelusa. Chazia lahu avda, they saw this servant, de onach kuzo de maya, that he was putting a cold jug of water, apuma de kumkumo, on the opening of a hot kettle, a kettle that was holding hot water. Nazhei Rabba. Rabba told him off, he scolded him, he told this eved, you shouldn't be doing this on Shabbos. Omar le Reb Zeira, ma'ishno mimeicham al gabe meicham. So Reb Zeira said to Rabba, why is this worse than putting a kettle on top of a kettle, or a hot pot on top of another hot pot, which is muta? Over here also, you're putting this kuzo de mayo, or this jug of water, on top of a hot pot. Why should that be an issue? Omar le, he answered him, hosom akumei komoikim. Regarding meicham al gabe meicham, where the lower pot and the upper pot are both hot, and all you want to do is to retain the heat of the upper pot by putting it onto the warm entrance of the lower pot, that's okay. Hocha, but in the case of the story here with the kuzo de maya, the jug of water was cold water. Oilude komoilid, you're trying to create heat. You're trying to make something cold become hot. That's worse, and that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Hodar Chazya, they were in the same scene, they saw that this Eved, this servant, the Poras das Tudor Apumei Dukuba. He covered over, he used his turban to cover over the mouth of a jug. V'onach natlo ilaven, he put the ladle on top of the turban that was on the mouth of this jug. Nazhei Rabba, and again, Rabba told off this servant and said, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Omale Reb Zeira Amai. Reb Zeira asked him, what's the Issa? What's he done wrong? Omale Hashte Chozis, you'll see. Just hold on and watch. Lesoif Chazia, afterwards he saw a few minutes later, the Koma'atzerle. The servant took the turban and squeezed it out, because the turban had obviously become damp, either just by virtue of the fact that it was on top of the mouth of this jug that was with water in it, maybe because the ladle that was on top of it made the turban go down and become wet from the water inside the jug. Either way, it's discussed in the Mefarshim. Either way, he squeezed out the turban, and to squeeze out a turban on Shabbos is asa. And that's why Rabbi told him you should not have covered the jug with the turban. Omalei maishno mi parvanko. Reb Zeira asks Rabbi, why is it different from the halacha of parvanko? The halacha is you're allowed to take a rag and cover a barrel or a pot with it on Shabbos. We know that's mutter. Nobody says there that it's asa. Omalei, Rabbi explained to Reb Zeira, hosam loy kopidi lavei. Nobody cares whether the rag becomes absorbed with water, and therefore no one's going to bother squeezing it on Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter. Hocha, in the case of a turban, kopidi lavei, people care, they do not want the turban soaked with liquid, with water, therefore they would easily come to squeeze it out on Shabbos, and that's asa. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'teven, we saw in the Mishnah that straw, which is dry, you're allowed to do atmana with it on Shabbos. It's not moisef hevel. If it's damp, it is moisef hevel. Says the Gemara, boya minei Rav Ada bar Masna me Abaya. Rav Ada bar Masna asked Abaya the following question. Muchin, which in that list, together with the straw, it also mentions the zagin, the grape skins, the muchin, the cotton, the soft material, and the asovim and the grasses. So Rav Ada bar Masna asked Abaya whether these muchin, these soft materials that you're allowed to do hatmona with it, ma'ul taltil b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to move them on Shabbos? Are they mukta? It's true that I've used these muchin to insulate my pot, but are they also mukta? Are they still mukta? If I would not insulate the pot with it, these muchin are definitely mukta because they have been reserved to be used as raw materials to make felt from them. But now that you've used them to insulate the pot, is it called that you've reserved it, you've designated it now to be used for something that's mutta, which is insulating the pot? It's no longer reserved to be raw materials to do melacha with it, which would mean it's still mukta, and therefore it now becomes not mukta, it becomes mutter on Shabbos. That's the question here. Is the fact that we used it for insulation enough that it's no longer called reserved for davar ha'asur? Omar le, Abaye answered Reb Ada bar Masna, v'chi mipnei she'ein le kupo shel teven, oimedu mafkir kupo shel muchin, just because he does not have available straw to insulate his pot, does that mean that he wants to take a whole box of raw materials, of soft material, and be mafkir, turn into hefka, as if he doesn't want to use it anymore for his work, that he doesn't want to use it as raw materials for making felt? Obviously not. It's got a lot of value. He still wants it to be reserved for the felt. Just for this Shabbos, he's using it for hatmona, and therefore it's still called mukta. Leime maseale, the Gemara wants to bring proof to Abaya from a brisa. Toimnin begizei tzemer, one is allowed to do hatmona with the shearings of wool, ubetzipei tzemer, and with mats of wool, ubeleshoinus shel argomon, and with strings, with strips of purple wool, ubemuchin, and with these muchin, these soft materials, ve'in metaltelin oison, and you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. They're mukta. So this seems to be proof to Abaya that even though one may use the muchin for hatmona, however, they are mukta. Says the Gemara, you cannot bring proof to Abaya from there. Imishum ha lo iria. If that would be your whole proof to Abaya, it would not be sufficient. Hochi ka'oma. Because we could read the braisa as follows. Im loy toman behen, ein metaltelin oison. There's two independent halachas. Number one, toimnin begize temer, betzipe temer, b'shayne shel argomon ubemuchin. You're allowed to use all of these to do hatmona, providing they're not moisef hevel, that they are dry, not damp. At least regarding those that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Now there's another halacha, ein metaltelin oison, that if you don't use them for hatmona, they are mukta. So, says the Gemara, if it's an independent halacha, and ein metaltelin oison, the mukta only applies when you didn't use it for atmona, ihocha mai lememra, what's the chiddush? We don't need this braisa to tell us that muchin, that you never used for atmona, they're mukta. Of course they're mukta. Says no. There's a chiddush, even if the braisa would be telling us that it's only mukta when it was not used for atmona, there would be an element of chiddush there. I may have thought that these wools and the things mentioned in this braisa, that one can use them to recline on, they're soft and comfortable, so maybe just the very fact that you can recline on them would mean that they are not mukta. Kumash melon, no, since they have been reserved and designated for malacha, and therefore they are mukta. However, it could be that if you use them for atmona, that they are not mukta, and therefore it's not proof to Abaya. Abaya, however, says that they are mukta even after atmona. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chisda shara l'ahadurei udra l'beisadya b'shabato. Rav Chisda allowed one to return some stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. Eisvei Rav Chonon bar Chisda l'Rav Chisda. Rav Chonon bar Chisda asked Rav Chisda a question. Matirin beis hatzavar. We learned in a braisa that one is allowed to untie the neck b'shabbos, that if temporarily an open neck was sewn together, was tied together, but the neck was there before Shabbos, one's allowed to untie it and open up the neck. But if there was never a neck there, you're not allowed to make a hole for the neck on Shabbos, because it's called that he's creating a beged, he's making this beged wearable, and that's a melocha on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put these soft materials, these soft wools, not into a mattress, and not into a pillow, b'yomtuv, even on yomtuv, and even more so, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So you see here, you're not allowed to put muchin into a kar or keses on Shabbos. So how could you, Rav Chisda, say that you're allowed to put the stuffings back into a pillow on Shabbos? Loikashi, the Gemara says, it's not a question. When it says that it's osa, it's talking about a new pillow. It's never been a pillow. So putting the stuffings into it is creating a pillow for the first time, and you're not allowed to create a kli, or you're not allowed to be masakin mona on Shabbos. This that we said, that it's mutter, is talking about an old pillow, and there used to be stuffing in it, and now some of the stuffing had come out. You're allowed to replace it on Shabbos. You're not creating a new pillow. Tanin Amiyach, we found a brisa to this effect. Ein noisnin es amuchin loy letoich hakar v'loy letoich hakeses b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to put these soft materials into the akar or keses, into a mattress or pillow, b'yomtiv v'ein tzorch leima b'shabbos, and even more so on Shabbos it's osa. Noshru, however, if they were in there before and they fell out, machzir noisnin b'shabbos, you're allowed to put them back even on Shabbos, v'ein tzorch leima b'yomtiv, and even more so, it's mutter to put them back on yomtiv. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, ha'poseach beis hatzavar b'Shabbos, if somebody opens, makes a new opening in a garment for the neck, chayev chatos. If he did it on Shabbos, he's chayev chatos, because he's makeh b'patish, it's a gemar melocha, he created this kli on Shabbos, and therefore he's chayev chatos. Maskif lor Rav Kana. Rav Kana asked the following question. Ma bein zu lemegupas chovis. Why is this different to the lid of a barrel? We know that if the lid has been attached to a barrel, you're allowed to sever the lid to create an opening to the barrel. Why is that different to making a hole for the neck through into a garment? Omale Rava. Rava explained as follows. Ze chibur vze einoi chibur. In the case of a garment that before the neck was opened, it was a single garment. It was a single piece of material. It was one, it was attached. And therefore, opening it up is creating something new, and therefore it's osa on Shabbos. However, in the case of the lid of the barrel, the lid is not called a chibur, it's not called attached to the barrel. And Rashi explains, number one, the material of the lid is not the same material as the barrel. And even though it's dovuk, it's very strongly and firmly attached to it, but nonetheless, it's not considered a bond, it's not considered one, because it's oimed linotel, it's slated to be removed, it's not going to be there permanently, it's only there temporarily, therefore it's not called one, and severing it on Shabbos is not called creating a new opening. However, in the case of the beged, the garment, it's nerag kuloi, the whole garment is being knitted, has been sewn as one piece, and therefore it's very clearly called a chibur. Opening up is making a new opening, is finishing the beged, and therefore is osa on Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to discuss this concept of chibur. Rami le Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira the following question. Tnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, shlal shel kovsin. The launderers, in order that the clothes should not get lost, they would string together, they would loosely sew together smaller garments onto larger ones in order that whilst they're cleaning the clothes, they would not get lost. That's called the shlal of the kovsin, of the launderers, v'shalsheles shel mafteichos, or a chain holding a whole bunch of keys, v'abeged shu tofur bikilaim, or a garment where you have, for example, a couple of woolen garments that have been tied together with a linen string, and this is kilaim, woolen linen is kilaim. In all these cases, chibur letuma, they are called a chibur, they are called bonded, they are called one in Hilchas Tumah. In Hilchas Tumah we know that if something, if a sheretz, for example, which is an av ha-tumah, touches a beged, the beged will become a rishon letuma. But if a beged then touches another beged, the second beged will not become tummy. So here, if you say that chibur, it's become one, then if a sheretz touches one of the clothes in the shlal shel kovsin, or the beged shel tofur kilaim, or the shalsheles shel mafteichos, if a tummy touches one, if it's called chibur, it's as if all of them touched the sheretz, they're all going to become tummy. If it's not called chibur letuma, then touching one would not mean that the sheretz touched the other one, and then the second one would only be tummy, providing it could become tummy from the first beged. And we know that a beged will not become tummy from a first beged. A beged can only become tummy from an av, not from a rishon, and therefore it will be tohir. So it says in this Mishnah that shlal shel kovsin, shal sheles shel mafteichis, and beged shutofur kilaim are called a chibur for tumah, and if a tumah touches any one, everything tied together is tummy. That's until you started untying it. As soon as you started untying it, you've now shown that you don't want them to be tied anymore. They are no longer called mechubor, called attached. They're no longer called bonded. And therefore, if a tummy then touched one, it would not, in effect, make the others tummy. Alma, so you see from here, Shaloi b'shas melacha nami chibur. Take, for example, the shlal shel kovsin, where all the clothes have been loosely tied together. When do they need to be tied? Only whilst the kovas, the launderer, is washing the clothes. Once he's finished washing the clothes, they could get untied. Nonetheless, the Mishnah said, all the while he has not yet started untying them, even though it's not anymore called shas melacha, whilst I'm using the shlal shel kovsin, I'm washing this whole bundle together, even after that, it's still called a chibur until you start untying it. Al sheyaschil lahatir, al meshaloi b'shas melacha nami chibur. It's still called a chibur until you start untying it. Or a minu, and this seems to contradict another Mishnah. Makal sheoso yad lekardim. If you take a piece of wood, a long piece of wood, and you loosely attach it to an axe, acting as a handle for the axe, and you don't permanently fix it there, it's just loosely attached to the axe, chibur letuma, the axe and this handle become one, they're considered one as far as tuma is concerned, b'shas melacha, only whilst you're using the axe. As soon as you've finished using the axe, then the handle is no longer called a chibur to the head, to the axe, and it will not become one for tummy. And this seems to contradict the first Mishnah that shlal shel kovsin remains a chibur until you start untying it. B'shas melacha in, shaloi b'shas melacha loy. From this second Mishnah you see that only whilst he's using the axe, it's chibur letuma, not afterwards. Omar Lei, he answered him back. Reb Zeira answered Reb Yirmiyah as follows. Hosom, in the case of the handle of the axe, shaloi b'shas melacha, the moment a person has finished using the axe, Adam also lizorke ben eitzim, he has no reason, and he doesn't care about this handle, it's a piece of wood, and the person will just chuck it to the other pieces of wood, and there's zero value in its remaining attached to the axe, and therefore, whilst you're using the axe, and obviously you need a handle then, it's called a chibur. The moment you're finished, it's not called a chibur anymore. Hocha, but in the case of shlal shel kovsin and the other things mentioned in that first Mishnah, shaloi b'shas melacha nami nichalei. We want them to remain attached even after I finished washing the clothes. Di'imatanfi, because in the event that one of these clothes or this bunch, this bundle of clothes are going to become dirty again, hodar mechavru luhu, I'll be able to re-clean them all together, and I won't need to tie them all together again, and therefore all the while that he's not yet untied the bundle, It's called a chibur, and you want the chibur to remain that way, and therefore it stays chibur l'tuma. Continues the Gemara. Besura masnu lo leha shmeita mishmei d'Rav Chisda. In Surah, they learned the following quote, which we'll see in a minute, in the name of Rav Chisda. However, in Pompadisa, masnu mishmei d'Rav Kahana, they learned the following quote in the name of Rav Kahana. V'amru lo mishmei d'Rav, and some say in the name of Rava. What's this quote? As follows. Man tana ha milsa da'amar abonon. Who is the tana who holds the following? Kol hamachubar loy harehu kamayhu. Anything that's attached has the same alochas. It's one as the thing it was attached to. And for example, in Hilchas Tumah, if a sheret touched one part of this chibur, then the other part will also become tomei. Who is this? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Reb Meir. It must be Reb Meir in a Mishnah. Ditnan, because we learned in a Mishnah in Kelim, Beis Hapach, or Beis HaTavlin, or Beis HaNeir Shebekira, the stoves used to have some receptacles, either a receptacle to hold a flask, or a receptacle to hold some spices, or a receptacle to hold a candle, and these receptacles were not an integral part of the stove, but they were attached to the stove, and it's now as if there's one kli attached to another. It's this receptacle attached to the kira. So the halacha is metamin b'maga v'ein metamin b'avir. We know that there's a halacha regarding earthenware kelim that not only will they become tomei if, for example, a sheret touches them. As with all kelim, if a sheret touches a kli, it becomes tomei. In the case of an earthenware kli, if you just hung a sheret into the airspace of a kli, an earthenware kli, it's as if it touched the walls, the inside walls of the earthenware keli, and it becomes tomei. So here the Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that these receptacles, together with the stove, they are called one metamin b'maga, which means if a sheret actually touched, either the stove, the inside walls of the stove, or the inside walls of the receptacles, it's called one, and the whole thing is tomei. However, in metamin ba'avir, if a sheretz was hung into the avir, into the airspace of any one of them, either the receptacle or the stove, the other one will not become tomei at the same time. Divi Reb Meir, Reb Shimon Matayr, Reb Shimon say it's not called a chibur at all, and even regarding maga, touching it itself, if a sheret touched any one, it would not make the other one tomei. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Bishleim vele Reb Shimon, the opinion of Reb Shimon, I can understand. Kasova lav kakira domu. He holds that these receptacles are not considered part of the stove, and therefore it's not called a chibur, and if one becomes tomei, it would not make the other one tomei. Elo Reb Meir, but we want to understand Reb Meir's opinion. I kakira domu, if these receptacles are one with the kira, afilu ba'avir nami letami, then even if one of them becomes tomei ba'avir, just by virtue of the fact that a sheret was hung into its airspace, then they should both become tomei. I lav kakira domu, and if you say that this receptacle is not considered bonded and one with the stove, afilu b'maga nami loy letamu, then even when the sheret touches one of them, it should not make the other one tomei. Explains the Gemara as follows. La'olam lav kakira domu. Biblically speaking, they are not called a chibur, and irrespective of whether the sheretz was hung in the airspace or whether it touched the actual walls of either the kira or the receptacles, the other one would not become tomei. It's not called a chibur. V'rabbonon hu degozer b'hu. The Rabbonon made a gezeira, and they said that it is called a chibur. And therefore, if a sheret touches one, then both become tomei at the same time. Asks the Gemara, Igozorbu afilu ba'avir nami litamu. If the Rabbonon said that it's called a chibur for tomei in order to be machmir for all the chumrais, all the stringencies of tumah, that it's called a chibur, then you should say it's the same for even avir, if a sheret is hung into the airspace of the klicheres. Says the Gemara, no. Of the Rabbonon hakeira. The Chachamim wanted that there should be a recognition. Everybody should know that this is only Tomei Midrabanon and not Min HaTorah. And in order that people should remember that, they said, we're only going to say it's Tomei B'maga, not B'avir. And why was it so important that everybody knows it's only Tomei Midrabanon and not Tomei Min HaTorah? Ki heichad le'osu le'misra for le'i truma v'kolchim. It's seriously also to burn truma or kolchim, which are Tahir. And since Min HaTorah, these are not called a chibur, so Min HaTorah, if a sheretz touched the receptacle, then the stove itself is Tahir. And if there was kolchim or truma in that stove, it would be Tahir. And if you're going to think it's drabon, it's Tomei, and you're not going to be aware it's only Tomei midrabonon, you're going to burn this truma and kolchim. And that's seriously also, because a tuma midrabonon does not allow you to burn kolchim and truma. It's in order you should remember that it's only Tomei midrabonon. You're not allowed to eat the kolchim. You're not allowed to eat the truma. But you're not allowed to actively go and burn it and destroy the kolchim and truma. In order to remember that, they said, remember, it's never Tomei ba'avir. If the sheretz is just hung in the airspace, it's not called a maga. And only the receptacle or the stove into which the sheretz was hung is Tomei Min HaTorah, but the other one is Tahir Min HaTorah, and therefore the Chacham said it's even Tahir Midrabanon, and it's only Tomei Midrabanon. If it actually touches one, then both become Tomei. That way people will always remember, even though it's Tomei Midrabanon, the Chibur is called the Chibur Midrabanon. You're not allowed to burn Kolchim or Truma consequent to having been in touch with this Tuma Midrabanon. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, maspoires shel prokim, a scissors that's made of two parts. Typically, a scissors are two blades that are rubbing against each other, and there's a screw or something holding them in the middle in order that they can be used, as we all know from a typical scissors. Now, what happens if you have a scissors that is not always attached? Sometimes the two blades are attached and are used as a scissors. Sometimes it's just two separate blades. Are they called a chibur? Are they not called a chibur? Similarly, the Ismal shel rahitni, the carpenters, they have a concept called a plane, which is a piece of wood and a blade is attached to it, and they use it to smoothen other pieces of wood. And here the holder of this plane, of this Ismal, and the blade is intrinsically two parts, and they become detached from each other. They can become disassembled. Is it called a chibur? Is it not called a chibur? And as we've discussed till now, being a chibur could make a difference in Hilchas Tuma, as we've just seen. And at the beginning of the Amud, we saw that chibur could even make a difference in Hilchas Shabbos when separating two things. If they were one, then it's more chomor to separate them. So says the Gemara that maspires shel prokim veizmol shel rahitni chibur letuma. It is called a chibur regarding tuma, that if a sheretz touched any one part, then the other one becomes tomei at the same time. Ve'in chibur lahazar. There's another halacha that if a kli, an item, a vessel, became tomei with a tumas mace, by either a dead person touched it or it was in the same under the same roof as a dead person, then one has to sprinkle onto these kalim on day 3 and on day 7 with the waters and the ashes of the Para Aduma. And the halacha is that every kli has to be sprinkled on independently. If it's attached to another kli, then one has to separate them and sprinkle each one separately, unless it's called a chibur. So it says that Maspoira shel prokim and Ismal shel rahitni, it's not called a chibur for hazar. That means if a sheretz touched one part, the other part will become tomei. But if you sprinkle them, you have to sprinkle each part independently. It's not called a chibur. Asks the Gemara, Monavshach, make up your mind. If it's called a chibur for tuma, then afilu lahazar nami, it should be called a chibur for hazar as well, and it should be sufficient to sprinkle on the two when they are attached together. Ilav chiburhu, if it's not called a chibur as far as hazar is concerned, afilu letuma nami loy, then even regarding tuma, it should not be a chibur. Answers the Gemara, Omar Rava, Dvar Torah, Min HaTorah, b'shas melach chibur bein letuma bein lazar. Whilst you're actually using either the scissors or this plane, it's called a chibur, and both for tuma, if a sheretz touched one part, they both become tomei. Both regarding the sprinkling of the parah aduma, that if you sprinkled in while you're using it, it's called a chibur and it's sufficient. V'shalei b'shas melocha, and whilst you're not using the scissors or the plane, einu chibur min ha-toira, it's not called a chibur at all. Loi l'tuma v'loi l'azar, not for the tuma, not for azar. V'gozu rabbonon, and the chachomim were machmir. They said will be gozer al tuma shalei b'shas melocha mishum tuma shebashas melocha. Since whilst the two are together, they are called a chibur for tuma. So the chachomim said it should be called a chibur to be machmir, and it should become tomei even shalei b'shas melocha. Val hazor shebashas melocha mishum hazor shalei b'shas melocha. Since shalei b'shas melocha, you cannot sprinkle on this scissors when they are attached. You have to separate them. So the chachomim said even b'shas melocha, you should not sprinkle the two when they are attached to each other. And it's just chumras midrabbonon, and therefore, when it says in the brayso that we started with lekatchila, that maspiras shel prokim veizmul sharuhitni chibur letuma, it's always a chibur letuma. B'shas melocha menatayra shelo b'shas melocha midrabbonon ve'ein chibur lazor is always true. Shelo b'shas melocha, it's not called a chibur fazor menatayra, and b'shas melocha, it's not called a chibur midrabbonon, And that's the two gzeiros that the Chachamim made, the two chumrais, and the Mitzvah Hashem. In the next shiur, we're going to learn the next sugya.